Good morning. Good morning, you hearty souls that made it through the marathon barricades. We are delighted to see you. We are a church committed to welcoming all people, regardless of gender identity or sexual orientation. All are welcome here. I want to extend a special welcome to those of you who are here for the first time. If you're visiting, we encourage you to sign our visitor's book in the cloister by the name tags or at the welcome table in the parish hall so that we can stay in touch with you. We also invite you to take one of our classes designed for newcomers and those considering membership, such as our Finding Yourself at Unity class, which is being offered October 11th, 18th, and the 25th. You can sign up for this class at the welcome table or by calling the church. We hope you find Unity Church to be a place which helps you find and keep your balance, a place which nourishes you and inspires you to lead a loving life of integrity, service, and joy. I'd like to call your attention, as we do each week, to This Week at Unity, which seeks to inform you of the upcoming events here at Unity and serves as an invitation and a roadmap to deeper involvement. I want to draw your attention to Preventing and Ending Homelessness, which is a forum that will be taking place between the 9 o'clock and the 11 o'clock service, being directed by Margaret Lovejoy, who is the director of Family Place. And we are delighted that Margaret will be here and leading this important conversation. This week, our featured class at Wellspring Wednesday, our Wednesday evening programming, is The Nature of American Life, and it will be led by Professor James Farrell. This presentation will explore how Americans think about nature and why we love nature, but destroy it at the same time. Combining ecology and religion, this class will explore the moral ecology of everyday life and the ways that people of faith can make a difference in nurturing nature for future generations. Of course, with Wellspring Wednesday, all are invited for dinner, followed by a short worship service before classes and lectures begin at 7:10. If you'd like to attend the Wellspring Wednesday meal, we ask that you please reserve a spot by signing up at the Wellspring Wednesday table in the parish hall. Tomorrow evening, nationally recognized speaker Ruth Hayden will give a presentation entitled Money and Values, Living a Regret-Free Life. The cost is $5, and it will be here in the sanctuary, and we hope to see many of you there. Next Saturday, October 13th at 8 a.m., we hope you'll join us for the first of our monthly pancake breakfasts. And following the service this morning, we hope you'll join us for refreshments in the parish hall. There you can greet one another, peruse our book stall, and visit the many information tables there. Next Sunday is Celebration Sunday, when many of us will renew our financial commitments to the church community. We are thrilled with the musical offerings that will be available that Sunday. The youth choir, the adult choir, and the eclectics will be performing, sharing the services at 9 and 11, and Peter Mayer will be singing at the 4:30 service. Our guest preacher is Rosemary Bray McNatt, who is an electrifying and really provocative and stimulating preacher. We hope all of you will come. The service is entitled, How Does Faith Endure? Services, as always, are at 9, 11, and 4:30. Karen and I would like to greet you following the service at the Portland Avenue doors. And once again, welcome to Unity Church.
Saraswati.
To believe your own thought, to believe that what is true for you in your private heart is true for all, that is genius. Come, let us worship together.
Thank you.
will you join with me in reading a unison response, number 487, in the back of your hymnal? The bell is full of wind, though it does not ring. The bird is full of flight, though it is still. The sky is full of clouds, though it is alone. The word is full of voice, though no one speaks it. Everything is full of fleeing, though there are no roads. Everything is fleeing towards its presence. Thank you. You may be seated. What wonderful chirping to hear in the quiet. Every Sunday, we set aside time to expand the caring ministry of this congregation. Together, we recognize the cycle of life and death, the circle of love, compassion, and witness that permeates this place. Our hearts are with all those who live with grief and chronic pain, for illnesses seen and unseen, those who live with addiction, those who live with mental illness, those who care for family members in ill health, and those who knowingly face their final days. We celebrate the life and mourn the death of Daphne Birdall, who died on Friday of cancer. A service to honor Daphne's life will be held this Friday at 4:00 in the sanctuary. We send healing thoughts to Virginia Lanigren, who is home recovering from a perforated ulcer. Her recovery is going very well, but she isn't used to being slowed down by anything, as we all know who know Virginia. We hold Jessica and Guy Peterson, their son Caden, in our healing thoughts and prayers. Jessica is pregnant with twins and is home now from the hospital, but still on bed rest, waiting for the twins' arrival. And now we invite you to share the names of those people you would like to bring into the embrace of this sacred space. For the names which have been spoken and the names which remain in the silent sanctuary of our hearts, may we be forever grateful for these lives that are woven into the tapestry of this community. And now will you join me in a moment of meditation and prayer. God of many names and beyond all naming, may we experience our connection with this enduring and abiding spirit which grows within us and among us. May we cultivate an interior life that enables us to feel a graciousness of spirit as it moves over the mysteries of living and dying. And may we find ways to translate that spirit into a gracious hospitality that ripples out into the world. May our passions be released, our confidence renewed, our arrogance tempered by humility, and may we know that to those who much is given, much is expected in return. May our lives always be grounded in gratitude for this one and precious life. May it be so, and amen.
Oh.
I'm wondering if the children who will be dedicated would like to come forward, and if you'd like to bring your parents, you're more than welcome to. It is our historic faith that each child born is born in original blessing, that is a gift to the world, that they are born full of grace. They are born as a potential redeemer for our broken world. And we have one of our classes coming in to see our redeemers being dedicated. And I want to acknowledge the Evergreen Quilting Group that, as always, makes a redeemer quilt to celebrate these four children being dedicated by us today. And this quilt will be given to the Genesis 2 Project and given to a family in need. So, thank you.
Hi, guys.
This is a poem from Denise Levertov,
great 20th century American poet. It's not a child's poem, but it is a prayer for all of us. Oh, taste and see. The world is not with us enough. Oh, taste and see. The subway Bible poster said, oh, taste and see, meaning the Lord, meaning, if anything, all that lives to the imagination's tongue. Grief, mercy, language, tangerine, weather, to breathe them, bite, savor, chew, swallow, transform into our flesh, our deaths, crossing the street, plum, quince, living in the orchard, and being hungry, and plucking the fruit.
I'm sure you all understood that poem. Because you understand what it is to love life with exuberance. We bless you with this water from the congregation, that your life might be blessed with a passion for journeys both within and without, that you might be encouraged to pursue your dreams.
And we bless you with this good earth, this mud, this dirt, that you might remember the earth from which you come, that you might remember that you have a body and that it's beautiful and that pleasure is just fine.
And we bless you with the fire of passion, that you might find and create a passionate life of the mind, of the heart, and of the body.
And we bless you with the air, that you might find your voice, that you might remember your breath, that you might sing and be joyful.
And finally, we bless you with beauty. May we remind you that there are thorns in this beautiful flower, because we know that we cannot keep the thorns away from your life. But what we promise is that we will be here as you grab passionately and encounter the thorns, and we will be here to remind you of your own particular and unique beauty.
Will you come to me? Will you come to me? Just for now. What name have you chosen for this child?
Elodie Esme Cummins.
Elodie Esme Cummins, we name you as your parents have named you, born one more redeemer.
And what is the name you have chosen for this child?
Evangeline Marie Hill.
Evangeline Marie Hill. We name you as your children, as your parents have named you. Excuse me. One more redeemer.
And what name have you chosen for this child?
Augustus William Mastrud.
Augustus William Mastrud. Yes. We named you as your parents have named you, born one more redeemer.
And what is the name you have chosen for this child?
Alexander Weston McCready.
Alexander Weston McCready. We name you as your parents have named you, one more redeemer. Sorry. Great grip.
And now, if you would just stay with us for a moment before the congregation joins us in the litany, there's a little lullaby for you.
And now will you please stand as you are able and join with us in reading the dedication of new lives. It is our faith that each child born is one more redeemer.
In service of dedication, we commit ourselves to the nurture of these children.
Are you ready to dedicate yourselves to Augustus William Mastrud, Evangeline Marie Hill, Elodie Esme Cummins, and Alexander Weston McCready?
We are prepared. We dedicate our minds and hearts to these children and their parents. Will you strive to love and cherish them in times of struggle as well as gladness?
We will love and cherish them always.
We acknowledge the divine spark within each child.
May we be worthy guardians of these young lives. May we build a community in which they will grow old, surrounded by beauty, embraced by love, and cradled in the arms of peace.
Please be seated.
The collection this Sunday is for further needs responding to flood relief in southern Minnesota. This collection is going to provide to reopen daycare centers because they have many of them have been closed since the flooding in August. So we are thrilled to be able to participate in this important fundraising, and I invite you to give as generously as you can. Will the ushers please come forward? To the work of the church, which is weaving a tapestry of love we call community, we dedicate our lives and our many offerings.
I'd like to invite Laura Smitzik to join us up in the chancel.
Good morning. I have a confession to make. Sometimes it's really hard for me to believe that I'm an adult. I have to say that I'm expected to manage a lot of responsibilities around work and family, and in reality, I would rather be throwing the temper tantrum versus trying to remain calm while my children are slamming doors, or I'd rather be breaking the rules versus creating and enforcing them. I'm not lamenting the fact that I'm no longer young. Instead, I'm acknowledging that with each decade comes a greater sense of responsibility, obligation, coupled with awe and wonder for all that is my life. As my partner Linda and I moved into our 20s and early 30s, we began a journey of becoming adults together. We held a wedding. We secured a slew of legal documents to try to replicate what would happen if we were heterosexual and getting married. We settled down, we found good jobs, and we had two children. Part of that journey included finding a place to worship where we could bring our whole selves and deepen our connection to that which is spiritual and holy. We joined a Unitarian church in Minneapolis and deepened our understanding of Unitarianism and liberal faith. Universitarianism. What do you think of that? I told you I don't like being an adult. We were fortunate to find unity when Jan and Rob started their service here. This church has become a cornerstone in our lives in ways that I never imagined possible. This is the place where we celebrate the beauty of new lives, which we saw today, and where I've wept in sadness for the passing of people I've loved and admired. It's where we as parents, as partners, and as individuals come to be nurtured. And it's where I frequently sit and weep through services, sometimes seeping and sometimes uncontrollably for both joy and sadness. Overwhelmed by the pressures of life and the absence of time to pause and pray as I work my way through the list of to-dos and family needs. It's a spiritual home where I'm constantly humbled by what it means to be in covenant with people who I've come to know and love and those I've yet to know, all who listen and care and respect the sacred lives we all live. It's rather awesome when I really think about it, and I feel beyond grateful. So what to do with that gratitude? I remember being in a class at the Minneapolis church, which was the equivalent of finding yourself at Unity. They had a trustee come in and talk to us about giving. The woman said that the church should be one of the top three places you give. Now, quite honestly, I was not giving much money to anything at this point, and I gave my obligatory maybe $20 check to my college I attended, and maybe a small check or two to a candidate or a political cause. But we certainly did not look at our income and determine how much we would give to our church. I felt like during that conversation with the trustee, I started to sort of grow up, step up, and become an adult. I know it sounds weird, but prior to that time, I think I really felt sort of a dependent child mentality where I could be passive and just always be willing to take. When in reality, it was up to all the adults who were committing themselves to that church in that room that night to step up financially and give to what they valued. The Fair Share model at Unity brought our giving and learning about giving to a whole nother level. The first time we calculated out our fair share, we looked at each other in total disbelief. It's a lot to go from writing a check from $20 or dropping a $5 bill into the basket as it passes to actually giving significantly to a church. It's a lot, but it's necessary. We cannot take for granted the gifts that Unity gives us. For our family, the gifts are many. It starts on Sunday morning with the music, the words, and the rituals which fill our souls. And it continues with a list of connections such as the anti-racism team, the welcoming congregation team, the church musical, working as a worship associate, being part of covenant groups, the list goes on. With each link comes a deepening commitment to Unity. There's no other place in my life that calls me to live a life of integrity, service, and joy. It's a call I cherish, and I will continue to support through service and through pledging my fair share. And I hope you'll consider doing so as well.
From The Good Earth by Pearl S. Buck. Then in the evening, he stood in the doorway of his house and looked across the land, his own land, lying loose and fresh from the winter's freezing and ready for planting. It was full spring, and in the shallow pool, the frogs croaked drowsily. The bamboos at the corner of the house swayed slowly under a gentle night wind. And through the twilight, he could see dimly the fringe of trees at the border of the near field. They were peach trees, budded most delicately pink, and willow trees thrusting forth tender green leaves. And up from the quiescent waiting land, a faint mist rose, silver as moonlight, and clung about the tree trunks. At first, and for a long time, it seemed to Wang Lung that he wished to see no human being, but only to be alone on his land. Then Wang Lung set himself robustly to the soil, and he begrudged even the hours he must spend in the house for food and sleep. He loved rather to take his roll of bread and garlic to the field and stand there eating, planning, and thinking. Here I shall put the black-eyed peas, and here the young rice beds. And if he grew weary in the day, he laid himself into a furrow, and there, with the good warmth of his own land, against his flesh, he slept.
And this from the poet Linda Paston. Tourist, beware. The sacred bay of Corinth is charged with aluminum. At the crossroads, almost invisible Oedipus waits. Have an offering ready and a sacrifice. You may ask one question. Be specific. The answer has always been the same. Look for it among the broken stones under your sandal or in the unbroken light of the Mediterranean sky. And remember this, virgins were said to be unreliable. So they chose as priestess a woman of a certain age. By the moon, your flesh is the color of marble. You are that age now.
I regret how hot it is in this room. And I could tell you we kept the air conditioning off so the children weren't cold, but that isn't true. It's not supposed to be this warm in October in Minnesota. A young earnest monk entered a monastery determined to find the path to enlightenment. He was young. He was earnest, and he wanted to find the true way. But he kept being disappointed, and he moved from monastery to monastery, looking for the wisest teacher, a true master to show him the way. And he asked everyone he met who was the wise master, and he would be led to the next monastery. But inevitably, he would grow disenchanted and restless and move on. But in all of his requests to find a wise teacher, one name came up wherever he traveled. But this master lived very far away in a very remote region, and it would take many months to go to find this master. But eventually, he decided he had no choice and that he needed to go. And so after a journey of many months, he finally arrived at the monastery. And he introduced himself to the teacher and, letting go of all niceties, got right to his real question, asking, "I have entered this monastery to learn from your wise teachings. Please show me. Where is the way? Where do I enter the way?" "Do you hear the sound of the valley stream?" Yes, of course. Enter there. Listening to a stream? Do you mean to say that the way could have been present all along? Now, this monk had passed many such valley streams in his journeys. Do you think that he found the way? Or do you suppose that he grew frustrated even with this wisest of teachers and left and kept looking for the perfect teacher who would provide the answer he sought? Would he ever find the answer because he was always looking outside himself for that answer? When the answer clearly was, stop, pay attention, the way is here. Before I begin talking about sources of faith, I want to define faith for those of you who haven't been present for our Dimension of Faith services. Faith is not a commodity which you either have or you don't. It does not require a belief system and is not dependent on a deity, though it does not deny one. It is an inner quality that unfolds as we learn to trust our deepest experiences. Faith is a lantern that lights your way, Rob said last week. I said, faith is what gets you out of bed, helps you take the next step when you're unsure of yourselves. It's how we structure our lives, and as the Buddhists say, it is where we place our heart. It's trust and confidence. A quality of faithful living implies an openness to life in all its changes, challenges, and connections. Now, in Western society, we have been acculturated to see faith as a commodity, something you do have or you don't. We've been raised to believe that faithful people accept a particular version of the truth as real and valid. Outside sources, in other words, communicate what is true and valid, and actually even what might be possible in a given life. Outside sources are the true arbiter and authority. They define our lives. When, like the monk, we are looking for guidance in our lives. And it's a natural impulse to look outside ourselves and to outside authorities and sources for confirmation and for validation. We have been led to believe that faithful people accept ideologies and doctrines that are handed down as truth, and faithless people don't. The problem with this kind of thinking is that there's no encouragement or room for internal discernment about what one feels is true or not. Now, interestingly enough, our tradition, on the other hand, evolved in a very different direction, which is the emphasis really is, in our faith tradition, not on outside authorities, but cultivating the interior life and discerning what is true for you. So when you're driving down the street and you see a bumper sticker that says question authority, you have to assume that it was purchased at a Unitarian Universalist bookstore, which is in all likely true. But the problem with our discomfort with outside authorities is that we frequently have not pursued the path of cultivating that interior life. For centuries, people traveled to the Oracle of Delphi looking for answers to life's perennial questions. They presented themselves to the Oracle, a priestess trained in trance and other celestial arts. But interestingly enough, before encountering the Oracle, the seeker passed words engraved in stone that were impossible to miss as you approached the Oracle. These words lent this advice to the seeker. Know thyself. Not listen carefully, not behold the truth, but know thyself. This ancient counsel rings so true. To hear the truth, To understand if it is true, we must first search out our heart to know our motives and our understandings of the world. When we place our faith entirely on the outside, we can be blown around like the leaves on a windy day. We're not anchored in our own experience and what our intuition and our inner wisdom tells us is true. We place our faith entirely on others rather than remembering the need for faith in our own understanding. And often we can get caught up in structures that are not life-enhancing. Now, please don't hear me saying that going to outside sources for answers is all wrong. It isn't. For every sermon I write, for every article I conceive and write, I research, I read, I ruminate, and I have numerous conversations with worship associates, colleagues, and friends. Truth emerges in conversation is a reality of our evolving faith. But there is a point that one must find that moral compass and anchor of our own truth. And discerning what your inner truth is about being open to the interaction between the inner and outer sources. It is to work with intention on your own interior life, to nourish it with the nutrients of others' insights and wisdom. But the growth of our interior life can't be dependent only on that, but must rely on our efforts to keep digging inside ourselves so that the deep nutrients that already exist in our lives interact powerfully and positively with those outside nutrients. One of the themes of our sabbatical was hospitality. And one of the surprises, frankly, for me was how much gracious hospitality we received in our travels and how often the hospitality really was about an openness to grace. I learned something that doesn't come naturally to me, which is in the words of remarkable minister Dr. James Forbes, how to make a place for grace. Now, grace kept coming unbidden through everything we did on our sabbatical. And you know what? It still keeps coming, and we're home now. And I thought it was going to stop. And so I'm beginning to wonder if it's actually that I am seeing the world through different eyes, that grace does happen all the time. But perhaps I just didn't have the faith in that possibility, so I didn't see it when it was all around me. Howard Thurman, another remarkable theologian and minister, says to behold truth, one must look at the world through quiet eyes. With quiet eyes, we can see our interconnectedness. With quiet eyes, we can see and experience grace. With quiet eyes, we can see patterns of connections that make our inner life and sustain our spiritual quests. The sources of our faith are many. Our experiences, the best of the faith traditions of our past, and the faith tradition we embrace in the present, the teachings and teachers we seek out, those fruitful conversations and those teachings that just fall into our lives, or the small, still, quiet voice within. Developing faith in this challenging world is a matter of deep discernment, of give and take between what is inside and outside. If we are people of strong faith, then we are people committed to an open relationship with the world and with the holy. And this is what Ralph Waldo Emerson believes so strongly, that we deserve a direct relationship with the holy. Now, this is all well and good, but it places responsibility of discernment, deep discernment, on our shoulders. Our tradition teaches us that that is the path, but I'm not sure we do a very good job of instilling confidence that this is possible and it is possible for all, that it is a ministry that embraces everyone. The old adage, to stop and smell the roses, to look at the world with quiet eyes, if you will, isn't just about slowing down your life. It's about letting the world enter you, letting yourself come into relationship with this precious world, taking time to actually be changed by it. And of course, it's not just the roses, and it's not just those things that we encounter that are pleasant. Having faith doesn't mean not making an effort. When we are trying to create change, we can pour ourselves into the endeavor and do our best to accomplish our goal. The gift of faith is that it allows us to make that intensity of effort, guided by a more holistic view of life, with all its mutability, dislocation, and unruliness. Whatever takes us to our edge, to our outer limits, leads us to the heart of life's mystery. And there we find faith. In India, we met numerous life-changing visionaries. And one of these people, Vivek Pandit, will be joining us at Unity in the first week in November. Vivek and his family have devoted their entire adult lives to freeing slaves. He says that the most important thing to tell the slaves that he meets is this: you are free. No one can take away your personal, internal freedom. And it is from this recognition of this internal truth that lives begin to be transformed. As the head of the Union of Former Slaves told us, "I was born in a cattle shed. I was raised to believe that I was actually lower than the cattle in that shed. I learned growing up that I was an animal and not a human being. Mr. Vivek Pandit taught me that I was a human being, and he taught me that I am free. Nothing can bind my inner soul. And now I head a union of 150,000 people who have grown to believe that we are all human beings." Yes, Vivek Pandit was an outside source, transforming the lives of thousands of people, but that is my very point. It is the interaction between external truths, the eternal truths that can be transformative, which is why we need to take them so seriously. We are the arbiters and the authority of our own freedom and our own truth. But it is incumbent upon us to take seriously the invitation to the world to enter in, to offer a gracious hospitality to all that is. May it be so, and amen.
Thank you.
we dig deeply in the soil of our own lives. May we take seriously the nutrients that are needed. May we seek those out with effort and passion. And may we keep digging to find deeper and wiser lessons that exist in every person in this room and every person outside the walls of this room. Amen.
Shakti Sahita Ganapatim Shakti Sahita Ganapatim Shankaradi Sevitam Virakta Sakala Munivara Surat Raja Vinuta Guru Guham Shakti Sahita Ganapatim Shankaradi Sevitam Virakta Sakala Munivara Surat Raja Vinuta Guru Guham Bhaktali Poshakam Bhavasutam Vinayakam Bhaktali Poshakam Bhavasutam Vinayakam Mukti Mukti Pradabhushitangam Raktapadambuja Bhavayami Bhaktali Poshitam Bhavasutam Vinayakam Mukti Mukti Pradabhushitangam Raktapadambuja Bhavayami Sarigari Zanidadadani Saririgamapapasa Sarigari Zanidadadani Saririnirisasasa Sari gari zani da 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 ni zari ri ri ga ma pa pa sa Sari gari zani da 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 ni zari ri ri ni ri sa sa sa
Pa ga pa ma da pa da ni sa pa ga pa ma
da pa ga zari
Pa ga pa ma
da pa da ni sa ga pa ma ga ri sa ni sa Pa ga pa ma da pa da ni sa
pa ga pa ma da pa ga zari
Pa ga pa ma da pa da ni sa Shakti Sahita Ganapatim Shankaradi Sevitam Virakta Sakala Munivarasu Raja Vinuta Guru Guham Raja Vinuta Guru Guham Parvati Pate Sada Pavanamu Sambhu Pada Saroja Nandana Dana Jira Vibho Suprabho Pada ni san ni sari ga ma pa ma pa ga ri sari ga ma pa Pada pa sa ni da ni da pa ma pa ma ga ri sa ri ga ma ga ri ga ma pa ma ga ga ma ri ri ga sa 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 ri ga ma ma pa ga ma ri 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 pa ma ga ma ri ri ga sa 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 ri ga ma ga ri sa ni sa ri ga sa 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 pa ma ga sa ni da pa pa ma ga ma ri pa ma ga sa ni da pa ma ga ri 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 pa ma ga pa ma ga ri ma ga ri sa sa ga ma pa 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 sa pa 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 sa pa ga ma pa ma ga ma ri ri ga ma pa 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 sa pa 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 sa pa ga ma pa ma ga ri sa sa ga ma pa 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 sa pa pa sa pa ga ma pa ma ga ma ri ri ga ma pa 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 sa pa 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 sa pa ga ma pa ma ga ri sa sa pa ga pa ma da pa da ni sa pa ga pa ma da pa ga sa ri pa ga pa ma da pa da ni sa ga pa ma ga ri sa ni sa pa ga pa ma da pa da ni sa
pa ga pa ma da
pa ga sa ri
pa ga pa ma da pa da ni sa
ga pa ma ga ri sa ni sa sa shakti sahita ganapatim shankaradi sevitam viratta sakala munivara sura raja gunuta guru guham shakti sahita ganapatim shankaradi sevitam viratta sakala munivara sura raja vinuta guru guham bhaktali poshakam Bhavasutam Vinayakam Bhaktali Poshakam Bhavasutam Vinayakam Mukti Mukti Pradabhushitangam Raktapadambuja Bhavayami Mukti Mukti Pradabhushitangam Raktapadambuja Paga Pamada Padanisa Paga Pamada Pagasari
Paga Pamada Padanisa
Paga Pamagarizani ಶಾಸ ಶಕ್ತಿ ಸಹಿತ ಗಣಪತಿಂ ಶಂಕರಾದಿ ಸೇವಿತ ವಿರಕ್ತ ಸಕಲ ಮುನಿವರ ಸುರ ಜವಿನುತ ಗುರುಗುಹಂ ರಾಜ ವಿನುತ ಗುರುಗುಹಂ ರಾಜ ವಿನುತ ಗುರುಗುಹಂ